goes right with the songs, and I believe that if we would just let go and let God, a lot of our problems would dissipate. A lot of the things that we worry about and stress about and things that get us down, if we just give them to God and say, Lord, it's not my battle, but it's yours. I give it to you. And the Lord would take it and fight it on our behalf if we would just pray for him to do the work for us. 12th chapter of book of Romans, verses 1 and 2. Tonight is what we'll be reading from. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And stop reading there with that second verse tonight. And I'd like to bring you a message entitled, Conforming to the Will of God. If we could only do the will of God all the time, think about how many less problems we would have. Because God's will is what we ought to seek after. Not my will, but your will. Even Jesus prayed that there, not my will, but yours be done. And if we would say, Lord, I don't want my will in my life, but I want your will for my life, and we would apply it to our life, we would find that life would be so much better, so much easier than what we have today. Some would say, I can't do that because God's will is hard for my life. God never asks us to do anything that is too hard for us to do with his help. Isn't that what Paul said? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengtheneth me. With the help of the Lord, it's easy for us to do the will of God each and every day. And God doesn't ask too much from us, does he? He said here in these verses that by the mercies of God that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He never asked us to do anything that we're not capable of doing. At the time, we may think that we can't do it. We might think that, Lord, if I do that, then it's going to mess up the rest of my life. But see, God has it all orchestrated if we will just do his will. How many of us today, we could never have put our life together the way that God has. We could have never put. You say, but what about all the heartache and pain? Who was there with us every step of the way? Who helped us when we made mistakes along the journey? And some of them we did willfully. But God was there to help us to pick up the broken pieces and put it all back together. If only we could do the will of God each and every day. But you see, Paul said just a few chapters over in the chapter 7, he said that we can't do the will of God because his human nature fights against the will of God. Paul said, those things that I would not, I do. And those things that I would want, I do not. But he went on to say it like this, but it is not I, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Every one of us has to fight the carnal man to do the will of God. God lays something on your heart and you think, well, this isn't the right time. This isn't the right service. Or maybe even this isn't the right church. But when God puts something on our heart, if we'll follow God, he'll make it all work out to where we will get the benefit And we'll get the reward. You say, Roger, this is a Baptist church. Be careful. I believe God does reward us on this side of the grave. I believe that. Some would say that's not doctrinal, but it is. Look at all the things that God has given to us. Everything He gives to us, I count that as my reward for trying my best to do the will of God. And even as we try our best, we still fail. Paul was one of the greatest, if not the greatest preacher in all of the history of mankind. And yet if Paul would say, I still fail, I still don't do the will of God, then I would be a liar if I said, I always do the will of God. But you know, when God saved us, I believe He gave us a desire to try our best to do His will all the time. And you say, that's impossible. How many of us ever failed doing the will of God? And you know, when we fail to do the will of God, we feel bad about it. It just eats us up that God laid it on my heart. God told me to do this, and yet I failed Him. And it just eats at us. And we have to find an altar somewhere and call upon the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry I failed You by not doing Your will. And if you caught that in the second verse, He's teaching us that the only way that we can do the will of God is by not being conformed to this world and by renewing of our minds. I don't know about you, but I have to work on this old man. I have to work on him. Paul said, I die daily. He knew that Satan comes against us and gives us all kinds of reasons why we can't do the will of God. He'll give you all kinds of reasons why you're going to be defeated. But if it's in God's will, look at the Satan and tell him, remind him that he is a liar. Get thee behind me, because I'm going with what God has said in His word. When we do the will of God, we find that we have peace in our hearts and in our minds. That we can lay down on the bed at night and say, if I don't see the dawning of another day, it's going to be all right. Because I've tried to do God's will in my life. You know, God's word teaches us that God has two wills that He wants all men to have. One is that He wants all men and women to be saved. He wants everybody to be saved. You say, but there's some that won't get saved. It's not God's fault. It's because they rebuke God's will in their life. They fight against Him. And they listen to the flesh, and they listen to their friends and everybody else more than they listen to God. Your friends will take you to hell. I heard just yesterday, this past weekend, there was a record number of overdoses in Hamilton County. People getting together and doing the will of Satan. You know, if people do the will of Satan, people think that they laugh and enjoy and think that's a good time. The will of Satan is taking our people to hell by the groves. God's will pull you out of hell and establish you and change your want-tos along life's journey. He wants us all to be saved, and in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, in the 12th verse, He also wants all men to come to the knowledge of truth. What is the truth? And if you ask some people what is the truth, it's up to your interpretation. God's word is the truth. And let every man be a liar. God's word will teach us how to do the will of God. People say, I don't mind doing the will of God, but it's grievous, it's hard. When we get in and we begin to learn about God, we find out the law is not hard to keep. And you say, well, we're not under the law, but the law is a schoolmaster. It teaches us. The law brings us to the knowledge of sin. How would you know it was wrong if you didn't have the law to teach us? And people say, well, we're under grace, Roger, and we most certainly are. But Christ said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I come to fulfill it. That it's there. How many of you know something is wrong without somebody opening up the Bible and showing you it's wrong? How many of you have to have somebody beside you all the time to tell you if something is right or wrong? One of my classic examples, many years ago, a young couple was getting married, not in this church, so everybody can rest. And the guy asked me, this is a couple weeks before they got married, he says, when we go on our honeymoon, do you think it would be wrong if we had a little to drink? And I said, you've already answered your question. If you have to ask if it's wrong, you know what the answer is. When I was growing up, I didn't have to have mom and dad with me all the time to tell me it was wrong. We knew, we were taught at home. Thank God that we had some morals and values that was taught to us at home. And then we go to church and we hear it preached about. And what they preached about aligned with what mom and dad taught us. Because you see, mom and dad knew that if we would learn about God, we would learn his will and we would do right instead of doing wrong. And then I confess, and we still messed up. Anybody else want to confess tonight? You know, the Bible says confession is good for the soul. Some of you never confess. Maybe that's why you're cantankerous. Right? Because we never confess. And I'm not saying you have to confess it to me. We ought to confess it to God. Sometimes I just say, Lord, help me. Help me. Not because of ignorance, because the scripture says God in days past winked at our ignorance, but now commanded men everywhere to obey him, to worship him, to love him, and to honor him. So if we do it now, we're doing it willfully. You know what we do? We put our will ahead of God's will. And we say, Lord, I know I should, but I want to do Roger's will today. And every time, Ray, I do that, I get in trouble. Every time. We put the will of Satan. We listen to Satan instead of listening to God. And sometimes we just need to remind him, you're not our boss anymore. I don't have to do what you say because I don't belong to you. I belong to God. You know, but we still listen to him, don't we? Or we listen to other people. How many of us have gotten in trouble by not doing God's will because we listen to somebody else? Some of you are afraid to say amen because of the one you're sitting next to. But you know it's true. We listen to other people instead of listening to God. Other people didn't save me. God saved me. I am no longer a prisoner of this world. I have been set free by Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior. And if there's anybody that we ought to want to please, it ought to be God. We ought to want to please him more than anything in this world. But yet we still try to please ourselves. Little things add up to big things. I heard a preacher many years ago say it like this, and Ron and I talked about it before church, in part, that Christians are a lot like an old car. They'll usually start missing before they quit. And there's a lot of truth in that. We find other things to draw us away from the will of God. Every time I miss church, I feel bad. And y'all know I don't miss that much. But when I do, I feel bad. I go on vacation, I feel bad. I go to church when I'm on vacation, but it's not church. It's not. Because this is where God has put us. This is where we worship, and this is where our heart's at. And this is where we can work when we follow the will of God in our life. Or not only do we listen to Satan, we listen to other people, or we listen to ourselves. Have you ever talked yourself out of something? God laid it on your heart and you say, well, they've already sung too many songs. Or it's time for the offering. It ain't time to sing. It ain't time to preach. Now, I know I'm not using good English. It's not time for me to go to the altar in prayer. That'll come at invitation. You know what God's will is when he speaks to you. That's when we ought to move and do what God wants us to do. God's will is right. Our will is wrong. Our will get us in trouble because we listen to ourselves. Sometimes, anybody else have this problem? Sometimes I am my worst enemy. There's times I don't even want anybody else around me. And there's times that I don't even like being around myself. Somebody say, me too. You thought I was going to say amen. But no, not this time. Because there's times that we get so aggravated on ourselves. I get mad at myself when I did not follow the will of God. And it may be something simple. It may be something middle-sized, or it may be something big. But I find that no matter what it is, God put it upon our hearts for a reason. To help somebody. To be a blessing. To show somebody that you're not the only one that's been where you're at. But there's others that's been there as well. See, we put our will before God's will. It's a shame that on Sunday mornings, folks sitting in church going by the will of their stomach instead of the will of God's Spirit moving in the midst of the church. We can eat anytime. When church is in, we ought to be doing God's will. Don't let me look at my watch. How many of y'all remember many years ago, I quit wearing a watch? And the reason why I quit wearing that watch, it may sound pathetic, for lack of a better word, to some of you, because some of your parents got on to me. Because in the message, I'd keep looking at my watch. And they said, quit looking at that watch and just preach. They wasn't worried about the time. And that's where we need to be, is God's will. You say, but, you know, I don't feel the Spirit like we did this other service. Then we ought to look at ourselves and say, Lord, what have I done that I need to repent of? See, I still believe Christians need to repent on occasion. Because we've gone against God's will. And if you're not careful, you'll go against God's will so long that God will remove his Spirit from you. He won't speak to you like he has in times past. Not that you lost your salvation, but, you know, if you keep telling a kid to do something, and they don't listen, what are you going to do? I'll tell you what Mom and Dad would have done. They'd bust our butts, and then we'd had to hear it again. Right? Well, God is the same way. He'll tell us and tell us and tell us, and if we don't do it, we're going to get a whipping. And then we're going to end up doing it God's way anyway. Some of you hold on to that one. Because we think we can get away from God. Jonah thought he could get away from God, didn't he? God's will was for him to go to Nineveh and preach. But his prejudice against them said, I'm not going over there to preach. And God told him, there's lost over there. They need to hear the word. He said, I ain't going over there. He didn't say it to God. He did it by his actions. Actions speak louder than words, church. He got a boat and went to Tarsus. But you know what? God brought him down off his high horse and said, you can't do your will, but you better do my will. And after he repented, he went over there and preached. Now, what preacher, do you know of a preacher who wouldn't like to go preach somewhere where 3,000 souls get saved? Huh? Amen? Preachers would be, they'd almost be stepping on top one another to get to that kind of an audience. And you say, well, we don't have 3,000 sitting here. But every one of us doing God's will in our life, not just in the church house, but did you know we got to do God's will outside of the church house? You just can't do it when you're in church and say, now, Lord, bless me, I did your will. Not everybody can do the will of God. First of all, he said it's God's will to save you. If you're not saved, you can't do the will of God. And after you're saved, he said it's God's will that we all would learn. Come to the knowledge of truth. There's a lot of people that got saved and quit right there. They never got into the book to find out what they're supposed to do. Years ago, I preached a message at the church that we're so worried about getting them saved, we don't preach how about how you're supposed to live after you're saved. He said, here, be you transformed from the world. Put away that life that you used to have and pick up and put together the life that I want you to have. Get away from the world. Separate yourselves. And do my will and I'll take care of you. See, a lot of preachers preach that all you got to do is pray. God, give me this and God will take care of it. He did say, ask whatsoever you should have need of and I will give it to you. But you have to do God's will in order to get it. You say, that sounds like a bargaining. God wants us to do his will, then he'll give us things. Think back when you was a child. Think back about your children. If you had a disobedient child, the only thing you wanted to give them was a whooping. Right? Some of you. I'm afraid our generation today don't know what that means. You've heard me say this many times. They didn't have timeouts when we was growing up. How many of y'all ever got a timeout that's over 40-year-old? Yeah. A switch or a belt was considered a timeout. Because we got whipped, then we was told, go to your room, and when you quit crying, you can come back down. So I guess we did get a timeout after we got whooped. Right? If we would do God's will, how many of you have ever had a whipping from God? You know why we get whipped? Because we failed to do his will. I remember growing up, now not be much longer. I remember growing up, we'd go somewhere and mom point her finger at it and say, you kids better behave. If you don't, when we get to the house, you've had it. Let me tell you, if we didn't behave when we got to the house, we got it. And we hoped it would be mom, because mom wouldn't hit as hard as dad. She didn't have, dad's arms was longer, I guess. He could swing that belt or switch. And they lay it on us. Today, people think that they can get outside of the will of God and never have to pay for it. There's going to be a payday. You're going to have to pay, or people are going to have to pay for being outside of the will of God. And you say, that's not biblical. Yes, it is biblical, because he teaches us that if he loves us, if he truly loves us, that there will be a recompense for all of us going against his will. And let me close with this. When I was growing up, I got to a point to where I got old enough that I thought Dad wasn't my boss no more. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Maybe some of you women. You thought you was your own man. And in so many words, without saying so many words, Dad had to remind me, this is still my household. And if you don't like the rules here, you can go live somewhere else. See, God gives us an option. We can either follow God's will or we're going to pay for it. And in time, when I learned, you see, I picked on Maddie earlier about being 18. Tomorrow, if I would have known at 18 what I'd known today, I would have tried to done my dad's will a whole lot closer. I bring a message like this tonight so us as God's people, we can try to do Dad's will a little bit better tomorrow than we did today. You say, I didn't fail him today. We all fail God. I'm being totally transparent. If any man says that he has never failed God, the Bible says he is a liar. He's a liar. We've all failed God. And let me tell you, when the whipping comes, we don't have to ask God, what is this for? We know what it's for. How many of you ever failed God and you got a whipping and you knew exactly what caused it? And you say, oh Lord. You know, when we was doing that switch dance, when mom and dad was whipping us, we say, oh, I won't do it no more. I won't do it no more. Right? That's the way we are with God. When it comes down upon us, we say, Lord, help me. I won't do it no more. But God knows our nature. He said, if he loves you, the chastisement rod will come. In fact, one of the scriptures I used to tell our kids, and it is biblical. The Bible says, the verse says, beat the child, for he surely will not die. And I said, my dad, he believed in that verse. But I don't remember that many whippings from Dad and Mom. My brothers always picked on me. They was the ones got in trouble, and I wouldn't hang with my own brothers growing up young because they take off. Mom and Dad tell us not to. They take off. I said, I ain't going. And they called me a goody good two-shoes. I said, I know what happens. Tonight I'm trying to share that with you about God. I know what happens when you get outside of the will of God. And it's a price that you don't want to pay. Because he requires. Sin requires, there's a penalty that's attached to it. And that penalty is we pay the price. If only we would do God's will. And it's so easy to do God's will. By saying no to Satan, saying no to people. In fact, how many of you cut people out of your life that's always trying to get you to go against God's will? I talked with a young man just a few weeks ago. And I said, buddy, what you got to do is get you a new set of friends. He said, but they're all right. He says, they're coming around and they understand the problem. I said, but they are the problem. You got to get some friends that don't do those things. Otherwise, you're going to go right back into it. We're known by who we hang around with. And most time, I'm by myself. So if there's anything wrong with me, blame it on Roger. Because that's where I'm at. We can't just go on and say, I'm saved now, I don't have nothing to worry about. We all got to worry about ourselves, worry about our loved ones, worry about our brothers and sisters, that we might help one another. You know, there's things that I could do that are legal, that are not in alignment with God's will. And same for you. But we know what they are. And you say, Roger, you preach on that. Why you got to preach on it? Because the Word of God tells us that. And if you found out, but let me reverse it. If I found out you did it, it would hurt. If you found out I did it, it would hurt. In fact, what we would do is we would hurt our ability to place a godly impression upon others. And we say, but it's okay. Well, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but Washington says a lot of things are okay. But they're not. Because they don't match up with this book. Amen? They say it's okay. But you know who has to pay the price? You and I. Individually, we have to pay the price for every time we go against the will of God. So tonight, if God has laid something on your heart that you need to do, you know what you ought to do? Follow your heart. Because God put it there for a reason. It's there for your benefit. Even if it means saying goodbye to, you know, I said my cousin passed away. Heavy smoker, heavy drinker. You know, the obituary, when I read it today or yesterday, you know what it says? He liked to play cards with his friends. I hope my obituary can say a little bit more than that. I hope my obituary can say he tried to do the will of God. Amen? Played cards. Well, they didn't just say play cards, play poker. You say, you got family like that? Folks, you ought to see my messed up family. And I see some of you laughing. Let me tell you, yours is just like mine. More than likely. Right? How many of you got family don't care anything at all about the will of God? Amen? Or, and they could be saved. They could be saved. But they have never learned about God. They've never had a desire. They've never even opened up the book. And this is what teaches us, along with God's Spirit, about the will of God for our life. We got a lot of people, and don't take this wrong, they're just ignorant concerning God's will. And you say, Roger, it's not nice to preach like that. It's true. They have no desire to learn about the will of God, because the more you learn about God, the more that's required of you. Right? If you know to do right and you do it not, it is sin in the eyes of God. Tonight, as we close with an altar of prayer, I hope all of us can say, Lord, help me to do your will better tomorrow than I did today. Help me, Lord, that I won't listen to all those, you know, that white noise that's always around us. That noise that the devil brings, the noise that friends bring, the noise that we even, in our minds. Sometimes I have to tell myself, be quiet so I can listen to God. And I'm not even saying a word, but my mind is going. And I have to stop and focus on God's will for my life. So that my family and your family can be blessed by God. Amen? How many of you join us as we pray tonight saying, Lord, help us to do your will. Conform to it. Conform means you have to make a change. Or you're going to be in alignment with God's will in your life. And transform from this world. This world holds nothing for me. Yes. Lord bless you. See that weight on your heart that she told the wrong number. I was happy when it. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Dottie, I was happy to see you at 60. I'm happy to see you at 56, 55, 54. I'm happy to see you if it was one. Amen? Because you know that you're saved. Amen. God bless you. That is what God wants. It eats at us. Does it bother anybody else when you say something ain't right or you do something ain't right? It just eats at you. Eats at us. Tonight, let's pray. Ask God to help us to do His will better than we ever have before.
Dear Lord, I pray tonight, God, that You would help us. Lord, that You would help us with the words and the things that Satan comes against us. Lord, people that put things in our minds, Lord, and try to give us the